Good evening, everybody, and it's a Wednesday, and this is me, Barry, with another book and a chat. I know, can you believe it? We're halfway through August. I can't believe it. Hey, don't worry, the kids will go back to school America soon. I mean, in England, they've only just broken up, but in America, after umpteen weeks and months of it, they'll go back to school. So things will be back to normal, don't worry. But it's back to normal as far as I'm concerned, because here we are with another show, and my guest is here now. One of the things you've noticed recently, I think over the last 5-10 years, is that the acceptance, if you like, of not everybody being the sylph-like models that used to have back in the sort of 80s, 90s, etc., and early 2000s. You know, everybody had to be looking like this, and all the kids were on diets, and everybody was doing this. These days, people are more accepted for what they are and who they are and what they look like, no matter whether there's some sort of injury, some sort of incapacity or what have you. People are more accepted. And my guest today, she has, from something that sort of put her in the line, she's written a book about such a thing. And we'll find out more about it, because I better introduce her, haven't I? Because on the show today, and don't worry, it's only one name, so, and I'm going to try and get it right, I have the one and only Ostiarch. Hi, Ostiarch, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? Thank you so much for getting my name right on the first try. It's very impressive.
Oh my God, I got it right?
You did. It's very, very impressive. It doesn't usually happen, so well done.
People know on this show that I'm far from getting the names right normally, but you're just like an Austria with a bit of the end. That's all I thought it was.
I am. It's just like the country. So exactly. Whether you want to think of it like Australia or Austria.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It is.
Yeah. Just like a plural of Austria.
Yes.
There we go. But as I said at the beginning, well, let's talk about you first, because you sort of got into this via meeting somebody and sort of working, you know, hearing what they said about this sort of thing, about, you know, the life is what you make it, basically.
Basically, so I was visiting the Children's Hospital a few years ago, just handing out school supplies and some toys and some art supplies, just different things that could, you know, bring the kids some joy. And I was passing by this girl named Julianne, and she stopped me and proposed this crazy question that I'd never heard before. And she goes, "Can I ask you something?" And I stopped, and she goes, "Does the mirror say you're ugly when you look at it?" And I was so taken aback, because I had never in my life heard anything like that before. And my initial reaction was, no, of course not. The mirror always says you're beautiful. You look in the mirror and it tells you you're beautiful. And she goes, no, when I look in the mirror, it tells me that I'm ugly. And I just couldn't hand her like a notebook and then continue to walk. So I sat down with her, and we had this riveting conversation about all of the different things that add up to how you feel about yourself as a person and what develops your unique identity, from who you surround yourself with to the types of relationships that you've developed to just the little tricks and lifestyle habits that you have in everyday life. And these things all come together to really create who you are, and in process, how you look at yourself and how you see yourself when you look in the mirror. And it was really incredible, because after a few hours of talking to this stunning girl, I got up to leave after our conversation was over, and she turns to me and goes, "Do you have a mirror?" And so I took out my little compact and I handed it to her, and she opens it and she looks at it and goes, "I see it now. You're right. The mirror does say you're beautiful."
Yeah.
And it was in that moment that I realized one conversation, a few words, some sentences can have life-altering effects for people. And so I decided to write the book.
And it's terrific, because people say, well, yeah, in the hospital, because basically, well, first off, you yourself, national level champion fencer and everything like that. So obviously, you know, been there, been on the main stage and everything like that. But then you founded this Star Individuality Foundation, which supports youth developing their individuality. Because one of the things, I've got a teenage daughter and a almost teenage son, as well as a very older son, but, you know, but
very
nice. But is the self-esteem part of kids these days? They that doesn't seem to be. They're always comparing to whatever, comparing to other people, and they lose their self-esteem, as in fact, in a way, authors do. And I brought this up before because number of authors that people think, what do you, advice do you give to authors? And I think, believe in yourself. Because so many people don't believe in themselves. They get told, oh, they've got to write in this style or that style and stuff like that. Similar in life, as in writing, as in everything, it's a case of that. I think, yeah, believe in yourself.
Definitely. And I think something that's really, that I've always wanted to focus on with my charity work is the mission of, everybody tells you to be yourself. Be yourself. That's something that we're constantly being told, and we tell kids and teenagers and adolescents all the time, is just be yourself. But I think that right after that question, and right after the adult leaves or whoever is telling you that goes away, the reality of who am I sinks in really fast. And nobody ever acknowledges that part of that conversation, that, okay, we're telling kids to be themselves, but are we giving them the tools to find themselves and to develop themselves and to have that authenticity to themselves? Because you can't just tell somebody be yourself and then walk away when someone's only 10 years old or 12 years old, because they need to still experience life and find themselves, and who you are is constantly changing.
I mean,
and that's something very important to my charity.
We had a show yesterday, a gentleman I know in Connecticut here had written a book, and it was basically not so much a coming of age, but he was a teacher with a baseball team, and they went on a road trip, and, you know, the kids just, they were part, all sorts of things happened and stuff like that. And it was when, like, the age in Connecticut was 18 for drinking and stuff like that, and all sorts of things happening. But they, I'm not saying didn't care, but it was, you know, this is our life. This is us. You know, we're going away for a couple of days on this. We want to be us. We want to be enjoyment. It's something we haven't got the cares and the woes of what's going to come in the future. This is our last chance almost to be this. And I think that's a lot of things with kids. There's so much pressure on them these days to do this, to be this, to that. And as you say, people have said, be yourself. Who am I? You know, what is myself? They don't have that information, or how to understand it, that information, until it's gone, and later in life suddenly they realize that they've missed it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important that you preserve that, and that you develop and nourish that as from a young age as possible, because it's really important that people grow up with that. And I think that well-established, confident kids grow up to be incredible leaders, and they grow up to really build our futures.
Exactly.
And I think it's really important that you do that from a young age.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the things that I've learned on the thousand odd shows about this is children and seniors have got no filters. They tell you what they think. They say what they have to say. They see what they want to see, be it, you know, spirits, be it what have you. And seniors, because there again, they've been it, done it, got the T-shirts, there's nothing more. Why should I worry about the stuff? It's what happens in between. The life gets controlled, gets overtaken by reality, by work, by families, by, you know, bringing children up and stuff like that. And in that time, people lose their, not just their individuality, but in their belief in things. You know, there's too much pressure on them, I think.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important that we remember that that's so important to preserve, because when you preserve that, you're preserving who you are as a person and who you were as a child. And I think that the people who can preserve that constantly keep their identity, but they also add to it. And that's a really beautiful thing. And it's very amazing when somebody can live a very authentic life and be true to who they are. And when people reflect that as they get older in their professional life, I think that's where we're going to thrive.
Yes.
As a country, is when everybody just preserves that and they show that in everyday life.
Yeah, I mean, you get people change like the wind, you know.
Absolutely.
But in your book, The Mirror Said, and I'm going to say this right, because this is how it's phonetically put and you can understand it.
Yeah.
You're beautiful. Beautiful. Not beautiful, beautiful. And that's right. Look in the mirror. It's you. You can't change you. Yeah, you're you, and don't worry whatever anybody else thinks, that's you. Yeah, no, yeah. Nobody else is that person.
So, and there's only one you.
Exactly.
So
yes.
Remember that you're beautiful and that just be the best version of yourself.
And a lot
and just focus on that.
When you sat down, you know, after you sat down with it, with this girl and you went, you know, sort of discussed this stuff with you, did the idea of the book come at that time, or was it a case of, you know, I've got to think about this, and then you think, and then when you've sort of thought about it and realized, you, I've got to share this with people. This is what people need to understand.
Yeah. So the way that my thought process for this actually played out was right after she looked in the mirror and said, I see it now. The mirror does say you're beautiful. In that moment, I had the title like locked and secured in my brain. I was like, this is a really powerful statement.
Yep.
And I remember as I was getting back home and I was reflecting on everything, I realized that so often we are so selfish when it comes to knowledge and wisdom and our stories. But I also realized the power of one conversation, a simple conversation, just passing on a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of knowledge that I've had passed on to me. If I can pass that on to someone else, that can make such a difference for them. And I realized after my conversation with Julianne that if she has that struggle, then there are thousands of other people that struggle with the same thing, because we're never alone. And regardless of how alone we feel in our insecurities or our struggles, we feel that way because we're not discussing it and there isn't an open conversation and a dialogue and a transparency around the concept. And so I think that it's really important that we share that, because if that conversation and that knowledge was able to help her, then it can help so many other people. And I felt a responsibility.
Right.
To go and share that. And I thought, what better way to do that than a book?
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. The number of people, you know, I have a lot of these, how can I say, self-help type books, you know, 7 ways to making your life wonderful, and this, that, and the other on the show. But you can't change from being you. And you've got to accept being you. To me, as Shakespeare said in Julius Caesar, it seems to me most strange that men should fear death, seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it will come. People are scared. You know, this last weekend, unfortunately, my ex-wife's son was died at the age of 23.
I'm sorry.
It was in an accident, but he actually died before the accident. He died of pneumonia. But then, yeah, she's sort of blaming herself. What kind of doing this, that, and the other? Okay, but to my mind, when your time's up, your time's up. You're called, and that's it. You can. You see all the time people saying, oh, well, if I'd have turned left there, I'd have been knocked over by that truck, or this happened. You know, your time's not up. But then I look on my life, and, you know, I've quite a few years now, and I say, okay, well, if I went today, have I left my mark on this world? Have I made a difference to people's lives? And I say, okay,
absolutely.
Yes, I have. So what more can you ask for? And it's the same with, you know, I wish people could do the Jimmy Stewart thing, you know, the Wonderful Life. What would other people's life be like if I wasn't here? And then you'd realize that, you know, people will miss you. People, yeah, miss you, the person, whether you're beautiful or not. You're beautiful to them, inside, outside, whatever. And
absolutely.
And that's what people don't do.
I know, and it's so upsetting. And I think that it was such a cliche when I came out with a self-help book, because I've never been a reader of those types of books.
Right.
And I think one of the main reasons that I never read them was because they're very commanding.
Step by step. These are the rules. Yes.
These are the rules. As if somebody already knows your life, they know everything that you do, and these are the 10 steps, and this is going to change your life. And I never felt that to be authentic, because who am I, who I've never met you, to come out and tell you exactly what to do and the order to do it in.
Yep.
So when I wrote my book, I wanted it to be different. And so I didn't want it to be commanding or in a step format. I want it to be like a trusted conversation that you're reading as if you're sitting by a fire, having a little coffee or a tea, and just having a conversation with someone you trust. And they are just passing on the knowledge and the wisdom that someone has passed on to them. They are now entrusting you with that. And then hopefully you'll make the changes necessary in your life to feel beautiful and confident and established the way that you want to be, and then you'll pass it on to the next person and the next person. And that's what I wanted to bring with my book, because I feel like nobody has ever taken that approach
right.
of let's give people the tools, but now let's allow you to reflect on your life and think what you can do differently for yourself, but at the same time, what you can do differently in your interactions with other people to help them feel better about themselves too. And I think that that's very important that we understand that aspect right. of people's lives as well.
It's amazing. A lot of people who've been in, say, I don't know, an abusive relationship or an illness or stuff like that, if they write their story in a novel format, you know, they make it into a fictional thing and the characters based on their lives in a way, but, you know, in a people that read that, can relate to, they put themselves in that character's position and they can then
Absolutely.
relate, they can then relate to it. Yeah, you know, it's like the fact that you're there discussing, as you say, like you're sitting down, like having a chat with somebody. You're not dictating, you're not saying, well, you know, today's the first day you do this, second day you do this, third day you do this, and if you miss it, you're in serious trouble. You know, no, it's sitting down, having a chat and saying, you know, well, you know, I can understand that, I've been there, but, you know, perhaps you could do this, and then if you did this and this worked, you could then share it with somebody else. That's the way, yeah. It's not only self-healing, it also helps other people, and there's nothing more that you can ask for than that to me.
No, I think that that's the most incredible thing, because the moment that we put away being selfish and we put forth a step of trying to help someone else, I think that that's when we thrive as a nation and as a society, because people are able to take in the knowledge and the wisdom and the experience without having to have gone through in a lot of cases, the excruciating experiences that give you that knowledge.
Right.
And I think what a better society we could be if we allow people to skip that step that might be a little bit hurtful or a little bit challenging, but we just give them the knowledge that we've taken by going through all of that.
Yeah.
And we just hand it to them.
And one of the hardest things that, you know, in people in everyday life is to find a person who will listen. To listen and not compare, you know, not evaluate. You know, not do anything. Listen and try and understand. You can't say you understand definitely, because you've never been in that person's situation. But to listen and try and understand, and that would help so many more people.
So much. I think compassion is one of the best personality traits that anybody could have. And I think that it's something that's so healing for yourself, but also other people, because when you listen to someone and you can have compassion for them, I think you're making them a better person, because you're taking the time and you're listening to them, but also improving yourself so much, because you're getting to experience someone else's raw emotions and their experiences. And I think that that's a very beautiful and intimate thing to be able to experience. And I think that that improves us as human beings.
I mean, people say, you know, walk a mile in somebody's shoes to before you understand them, but you can understand them by seeing the pain they've been in, seeing the state of their shoes, seeing the state of their feet, you know, trying to comprehend what happened to them. So you don't have to walk it, but you can understand the majority of it by just listening and understanding what they've been through.
Yeah, if you just show up in your present.
Yes.
And you take that a few moments to just listen to someone, then you can understand them. And I think a lot of times we tell people, like, you have to walk a mile in their shoes.
Yeah.
But you don't have to walk that mile if you just show up in those few moments that they might need you.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
In your book, The Mirror Said, You're Beautiful, as you said, you had the title right from early on. Did it come to you very quickly, like it was a story there in your mind, ready to just be poured down on the paper?
It did. The book actually came together into a full manuscript in 5 months.
Wow, that's good.
Which I think for some people, they might think that's a long time. Others might think it's a really short time. For me, I thought that that was the perfect amount of time, because we were able to spend so much time to make sure we got all of the content right and all of the details right, but it was very easy to pen because of the conversation that I had with her. And I took every single topic that was covered with Julianne at the Children's Hospital, and I just applied it right there. But I just went in more depth, and that was the only difference that it made.
Have you spoken to Julianne since the book came out? Has she had a chance? I mean, I know she would read it, but yeah, the fact that you, to understand that you wanted to sort of share her thoughts with the readers.
I was never able to get in contact with her again. It was very upsetting. Once I got into the process of writing the book, I reached back out to the Children's Hospital, and they told me that they couldn't give out her identity because they didn't know her last name. Absolutely. So because of privacy reasons, but I was never able to give her a copy of the book or to tell her anything. But I hope that she's listening and that she hears about this and then she knows that it's Julianne who created this immense change that's happening because of this book, and she was the inspiration, and she always will be.
Right. What sort of response have you had to the book so far?
I've had a really great response. People are really excited that this conversation is coming out, and it's been such an honor when people can tell you that they like your book or that they think your title is amazing. It's been so overwhelming, the love and support that I've gotten for this book. And I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity and the privilege to write it. So it's been very, very exciting. I'm very honored.
And I know from my own sort of writing and stuff, you know, you get an email from somebody who said they enjoyed the book, or I've been going through this helped me get through stuff and stuff like that makes it all worthwhile.
It does.
To show that you've reached the people who either were reading it or who you were aiming, you could help, and that you can't ask more than that.
No, that's really all you could ever ask for, is knowing that your work has been able to help one person.
Exactly.
In the slightest way is just so honoring, and it's so heart fulfilling that it's beyond an honor to know that this book is doing that for people, and I feel so lucky.
Exactly. I can totally understand that. Now you've dipped your toe in the author world, shall I say, are you thinking of writing something else?
Yes, I have a few ideas that I'm currently in the process of developing, but it's nothing that I can divulge yet because they're in the very, very early stages. But hopefully we'll be having another chat in a little while discussing some future projects of mine.
That's great. And what about the Star Individuality Foundation? How's that going?
It's been going really, really well. It's so incredible, again, to be able to do something that is so passionate and that can make such a huge difference for people. And we actually, a little while ago, launched our I'm Perfect campaign.
Right.
Which is very, very exciting. And we've had an incredible reaction to that as well. So it's been very, very exciting.
It's interesting because when I used to work for Unilever, and of course, they brought out, in fact, when I was in England, I don't think it was before when I came over, the Dove stuff was the whole about the inner beauty and about, all sorts of people that you wouldn't expect to be were on the adverts and stuff like that. And it's amazing to see how from something that at the time people couldn't believe that these people are going to be on adverts. No, come on, when you do advertised soap and stuff like that, it's going to be this. How in not that many years, everything's become totally acceptable. The people, and you see these pictures of people, with lost limbs, or people who are just different shapes, forms, scarred, what have you. Everybody's got their own beauty, inner and outer.
Absolutely. And I think that was the really interesting thing for me was growing up, I was never a good speller. I was the worst. I remember being in fourth grade, and they gave me every single test possible because they thought that there was something wrong with me. And then the teacher was just like, no, your daughter is just a bad speller, they told my mom. They're like, we've given her hearing tests and vision tests and dyslexia tests and all of these different things. And they were like, we've come to the agreement that she's just a bad speller.
Yeah.
So the way that I had to learn to spell words was to break them into tinier words.
Yep.
So I remember the word imperfection.
Yep.
And I looked at it, and the way that I learned how to spell it was by seeing the word I'm and then perfect. And that's how I learned how to spell imperfect. And I thought that was the biggest cliche.
Yes.
That the word that's supposed to be an insult, and if somebody tells you that you're imperfect, you're supposed to be so offended, and it's supposed to get to you, and you're supposed to be upset, when in actuality, you put in an apostrophe.
And it's I'm perfect.
Space,
yep.
And it's the biggest compliment you could ever receive.
There's so much like that,
yes. That was the campaign that we launched, yeah. And I wanted to launch that campaign because imperfections make you yourself. They make you perfect because they give you that identity. They give you that purpose you have. And if everybody were the same, what would be the purpose of that?
Exactly. From somebody who can't spell at all. And I reckon these days, if I was younger, I'd be said I have a dyslexia in a way of some sort of form. But, you know, it's just an excuse. You know, it's just another name. But you can't spell. I'm sorry, your brain's going too quick. Anyway, but it's been absolutely fantastic having you on the show. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. But time, as always, excuse me, has run away with us. So what I'm going to do now,
I know,
hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your book.
Perfect. So if you want more information about me, you can go to my website, osteage.com. And if you want to purchase The Mirror Said You're Beautiful, you can go to either themirrorsaidyourbeautiful.com or you can get it on Amazon and Kindle. And all you need to type in is The Mirror Said You're Beautiful, and it'll come up. And thank you so much, Barry, for having me on your show. It's been such an honor and a privilege.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure having you. And it's a sort of discussion about the books and stuff like that that I'm sure a lot of people will find interesting. Not only because of the subject, but also because it's life, basically.
And it is.
People have got to realize that it is life. But thank you so much. It's been fantastic having you on the show. Good luck with the book. And as you say,
thank you so much.
When the next one comes out, perhaps you'll come back and chat with us again.
Oh, absolutely. You will definitely be my first stop for the next book as well. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute honor.
Our pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Osteage, and I'll spell that for you because it's just the one word, A-U-S-T-A-I-G-E, Osteage. Easy, no problem. I can say that one. And as she says, you can find more about her on osteage.com. And yeah, great. We got about the book, about her and blogs and stuff like that there. Good stuff. And as she said, her book, which is called The Mirror Said, You're Beautiful. Beautiful. Great book. Read it. I'm sure a lot of people enjoy it as well. And I think there might be some more stuff coming our way. Talking about coming our way, I will be back on Sunday when hopefully I've got a guest. At the moment, I'm still trying to find a contact phone number for her. But another very interesting lady. I'll just leave it at that, because if she gets on the show, it will be one of those shows that we'll all be asking questions about afterwards. Anyway, that's it for now. Of course, as always, I have one thing left to say.